of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about this? The Chief, Robert Parrish, Hall of Famer, Boston Celtic great, joining us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Robert, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. How are you two doing?
We're doing great, man. We really appreciate you joining us this morning. I know this must be a special time. Listen, a lot of people probably don't know you were a Golden State Warrior for your first 4 years and then traded to the Boston Celtics. You still got any love at all for Golden State or no, especially now this NBA Finals?
I have love for the Golden State Warriors, always will. They took a chance on me, that leap of faith, if you will. So I have love for the Warriors and obviously for the Celtics.
Absolutely. They took that huge. What did you think when you're 4 years in and the Celtics trade for you? They get you and they give up the first and 13th pick and they get the number 3 pick overall. What were your thoughts when you were going to Boston?
Well, initially I was surprised, a little taken back because I was in the middle of a contract extension with the Warriors. And then I get a call from Scotty Sterling, the general manager at the time, told me that I had been traded to the Boston Celtics. So I went from being feeling out of sorts to hell yeah.
And that number 3 pick was Kevin McHale. So Larry, you want to talk about Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish getting there. McHale and Parrish getting there at the same time. Man, that changed everything for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it changed everything for me, too. I can't speak for Larry and Kevin, but my career took off to a whole nother level, you know, being surrounded by that type of talent. So it was a blessing in disguise, it turned out to be.
I think what's interesting is when you guys had a team, one of the reasons you guys were so good was everyone knew their role. Like, there was clearly defined roles, and people appeared to play in the role extremely well. I mean, across the board, positions 1 through 5, and guys who came off the bench. When you look at these two teams now, Golden State and the Celtics, do you see some of the same things? I think that's the benefit that the Golden State Warriors have had, is that they put a team together through the draft the same way you guys did through draft and trade. And they just happen to know their roles, and they fit their roles really well. And that's how you sustain long-term success.
What is impressive for me is that all the Warriors players and the Celtics players check their egos at the door. They are all in about team as opposed to me and my brand. And I think that's one of the reasons why these two teams are so similar. It's because it starts at the top with the coaching. The players are bought into the coaching philosophies, play hard, play smart, and play together. I think they are similar defensively. They're both strong defensively. Offensively, they are explosive. They share the basketball. I think they're one of the reasons why Boston is in the finals. Because Tatum and Brown finally figured it out that it's going to take more than just their individual talents to be successful and to get to where they want to be. And so when they figured out how to involve their teammates and become better at facilitating and distributing the basketball, that's when everything changed for the Celtics.
Robert Parrish, Hall of Famer, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The 80s were the Celtics and the Lakers, so many great games, so many great series. But we're in Houston, and you guys beat the Rockets a couple of times in 81 and 86 for the title. Talk about playing against in your rivalry with the Rockets as well in those years.
Well, the Rockets were a formidable team organization. They had the ability to assemble some great talent. with Moses Malone as the centerpiece, and then with Hakeem and Ralph Sampson. So they did a great job assembling some serious talent. And they kind of mirrored what the Lakers and the Celtics were doing in terms of drafting and developing talent. And the coaching was solid. They were solid on both ends of the floor. They played together. They played hard. and then she had the basketball. The difference is we just had more firepower. That's what it boils down to. And I think that's why these two teams are so similar. You know, they got depth. They got firepower. They're well coached. They play smart. And they rarely beat themselves. And what I mean by that, they rarely, even when they have one of them high turnover games, they seem to bounce back and find their footing, find their way, and remember what got them to the finals. So I think that's why this series, in my opinion, is a pick'em. I wouldn't be surprised if either side won.
Robert Parrish, Hall of Famer, our guest. You talk about the firepower, because I remember as a hardcore Rockets fan and Hakeem Olajuwon fan from the time that he stepped foot in Hawthorne's Pavilion, it was like you just had the feeling with whether you played the Lakers or the Celtics, it was just an insurmountable task, whether it was regular season and it got worse, it felt like, in the playoffs or in the finals. I wonder if people feel that way with Golden State at times because of their firepower as well.
Oh, no question. Especially when they had Kevin Durant. There was no beating them. And think about this. If Kevin Durant was still with the Warriors, hands down, the Warriors would be favored and they would win the NBA championship because no one has an answer for Kevin Durant. And as good as the Warriors were before Kevin Durant joined them, they became even more formidable with Kevin Durant because now you got Steph, Clay, and Durant. And they don't have an answer for those three players. The NBA does not have an answer. The only thing that is kind of is hindering the Warriors, in my opinion, right now, is this Clay is trying to find his way back from two catastrophic injuries. Because if he was right, the Celtics would be in serious trouble if Klay Thompson was healthy and not coming off those two major injuries.
Robert.
My.
Robert Parrish with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, you say Durant, and could he? I guess he would survive. But the physicality that you guys played with back in the 80s versus the game today, would he still be the same guy back then?
Of course. Let's not forget, I wasn't much bigger than Durant is.
Were you really?
But you're thicker. You're a much stronger guy.
I'm stronger, but I'm talking about body type.
Yeah,
right.
I was thin as a rail, too, for a center. You know, I was along the same lines as Ralph Sampson, even though I was more muscular than Ralph. But he and I had a similar frame, a similar build.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because when people try to compare generations, one of the things that I always point out is weight training was not as big a deal back then. That was not – a lot of times you thought, well, it's going to screw my shot up. I can't lift because I'm going to get too tight in the upper body. It will screw my shot up. And I think – you know, Robert, I think if you played now, Robert Parrish now would have been on weights. Maybe the nutrition would have been different. Like – who would you be now as a player if you came along all these many years later? Do you see yourself looking different body type wise? Do you see your game being substantially different?
No one in today's game reminds me of myself in terms of style of play and body type because most of the bigs today have three-point capabilities, and they were way out of my range. I can only think about shooting three-pointers.
Right.
But that being said, no one reminds me of myself in terms of style of play, to be honest, now that when I think about it. I have to say, I'm having a senior moment. He's no longer in the league, but when Kobe was balling with the center that came from Oklahoma, Paul Gasol. Yeah. Paul Gasol.
His game.
Yeah. Paul Gasol game mirrors mine, in my opinion, when he was a bowler. He had the transition game. He had the inside mid-range game. Mm-hmm. All the difference is he had the three-point shooting capability, which I did not have. But his game mirrored my game, and we had a similar build. He was slender and built like I was.
Robert Parrish with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are you gonna be there in at the game tonight?
No, if there's a game 6 in Boston, I will be in the house.
You're gonna be in the house for game 6.
Yes, sir.
So you said okay, but if Clay plays well, if he was back to being Clay, it'd be a lot of problems. But he hasn't been. What do you think? How do you think the series goes right now?
That's what I think is a pick 'em. Because of Clay inconsistency, Clay is still trying to find his legs, his body, his confidence. Because I'm sure there are times when he feels a little tweak going on with his knee or his Achilles. And I don't think he has gained full confidence in his body. Because once your body betrays you like that, it takes a long time to get your confidence back in your body that it won't betray you again. So I think that's why they're picking. But if Klay Thompson was healthy, the Warriors have a clear edge, in my opinion. But as of now, I think if they pick them, it could go either way. The Warriors or the Celtics could win it. And I think it's going 7 games also.
So the Athletic just did a piece on Larry Bird and his legendary trash-talking. And there was all kinds of players that had great stories about Larry Bird's trash-talking. And some of it was in practice where he trash talk his teammates in practice. You got any good Larry Bird story, trash talking story?
I have one for you. We were playing the Phoenix Suns, and I'm having another senior moment. Tom Chambers was guarding Larry, and we were down 2 with 2 seconds left in the game. And so we broke huddle. KC called, drew up a play, and we broke the huddle. And the Phoenix Suns were still in that huddle. So Larry walked down to Tom Chambers and told him that the only man that could guard him or even got a chance of guarding him was God. And then he walked out of the huddle and told Tom, he pointed to the spot where he's going to shoot the three-pointer, told Tom Chambers, this is where I'm going to take a shot to win the ball game, and ain't shit you can do about it. And to make it even more egregious, Tom Chambers allowed Larry to kick the ball, first of all, and Larry took a shot, and he pulled a Steph Curry. He shot it and walked off the court and didn't even look to see that he made it. He made it, and it was all net. And he just held one finger, and he was walking up the court.
It's so great. That is so.
Think about the confidence, and the arrogance that you got to have to say that the only man that can guard you or have a chance of guarding you is God.
But it also has to rub off on the rest of the team, though. Like, when you have one guy in that, same thing with Michael Jordan. I'm sure the same thing with LeBron. When you have one guy, Kobe Bryant, same thing. When you have a guy that's that confident in themselves, it can't help but raise your confidence.
Well, with that being said, on those 80 Celtics, none of us were lacking confidence.
Oh no,
no.
Now we took arrogance to a whole nother level.
Great.
I'm just going to be honest about that.
Yeah,
that is great stuff.
As arrogant as Larry was about his ability, Kevin, myself, and Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, and the rest of the crew, we were not far behind in terms of arrogance. So we all feel like we were the best thing on the court.
That is so funny. Great story. Hey, we really appreciate you joining us. What a great get. Robert Parrish right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chief, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
And thank you, and continue to set success to John and Lance.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
Robert Parrish right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I can't explain to you how, as a young Rocket fan, like I said, following Dream from the time he stepped foot in Houston in 80 or 81. And I'm like, and I'm watching Dream and the three Final Fours he had been in. And then he, you know, he came out short, but then he had Twin Towers, and you got him and you got Ralph. And I'm like, oh my, you know, we're having arguments at school about who's better, Ralph or Dream. And everything that I love is Hakeem Olajuwon. And then when you had to go against the Celtics, it was like, oh my God, it's McHale, it's Parrish, it's Walton. Like, it's a nonstop front court. And that's before you even got to the stopper in Dennis Johnson and the Larry Bird and all those little heckling guards like Ainge and Seastein. It was like, I never stopped. At first in the 80s, it was, you know, I had to fade Cornbread Maxwell watching these guys. And like, clearly the Rockets with Mo Malone had no business being on the court. But then when you had Dream, you realized, for as great as I thought Dream was, I knew that he had Robert Parrish in his face and he had Kevin McHale. Like, oh, man. This is like the Celtics don't stop, and they run.
Yeah.
Like the Celtics would run.
Oh, no, those games were, they think it was plotting basketball.
If you screw around, it was fast break. If you screw around on the Celtics, because they hit hit-aheads all the time, there was no dribbling up the court. It's bang to the guy up ahead of them, and they were getting layups on you. If you were late getting back, they 100% would go get points on you.
All right. Still ahead, Mike Florio is going to join us at the bottom of the hour to dissect all this Deshaun stuff. We'll do that with him at 9:30. Right now, though, Allstate is what
Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding makes it's never been easier to get your window stuff taken care of and get it taken care of, you know, starting today. I don't know what you're waiting for any longer. It's really, it doesn't make any sense that you would wait any longer with Allstate Windows and Siding. Go to the website today at AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com, and you can check them out for yourself. But I'm just here to tell you that Allstate Windows and Siding are going to offer our listeners, if you tell them that you're an ESPN 97.5 listener, you heard it from Lance Zierlein, the whole nine yards, you know the deal. When you do that, what Allstate's going to do is they are going to drop your price by 25%. Then, if you want to get it financed so that you can pay it off, they'll give you 3 years. 3 years, 36 months of no interest financing. So it's not going to cost you anything extra. Pay it off when you need to pay it off. If you want to take some time away, you can do that. If you have a big chunk coming because you have a bonus, or maybe you got a tax break coming and you say, I'm going to take that money and put it there. Or maybe you just want to put it off because you're taking care of other things. They can do that for you as well. There's no reason for you not to have double pane, double strength windows that make your house quieter and, more importantly, make your house more energy efficient. And new windows that are built right here in the state of Texas are going to stand up to the elements, and they are going to make your property much more energy efficient. The same can be said for your new siding as well. It's just definitely going to beautify and strengthen your home. New siding, new windows, there's one-stop shop, and that's Allstate Windows and Siding. Go to AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com or give them a call at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
713-780-3776. Pena's been waiting a while. We got Mike Florio at the bottom of the hour to talk about this Deshaun Watson thing, and the bottom of the hour is pretty quick. What a great story by Robert Parrish. We really appreciate him. He did drop an S-bomb. And so if you caught it, although some people say
it needs to be told, because he said basically Larry Bird told Tom Chambers, there's only one man that can guard me, and that's God. And
you're going to guard me, and you can't do shit about it.
and there ain't he said, I'm going to shoot the ball from right here.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to shoot it. I'm going to make a three. I'm going to beat you. And ain't ship you can do about it.
Right. I believe that story. That story was in the article that I read.
Yeah. I think
Did you read the article?
No.
It's good. There's all kinds of Larry Bird
Larry
special.
Larry is like Larry's one of those guys. So you know, one of the fun things is always playing in in groups of you play in groups of like I had the guys I ran with in basketball were like all black but one Tao Gregg, and he was from the south side of Chicago. And so we were in pickup games at Tulane, and these guys are from Mississippi, Baltimore, California, our crew that we ran with. I did that more than go to class. Anyway, when they all left for the summer, I still had to stay there. So I played in New Orleans. Like I went with Eric Racklin, some of the football players, and we would go play in some spots where I was like, ooh. Are you guys sure I'm supposed to be here? Are you sure I'm supposed to be on this team? And so we go run pickup, but you get a lot of respect. You know, you get a lot of respect if you can play a little bit. But the other thing is, if you can talk trash and back it up, which I'm not saying I did because I did not talk trash. But if you talk trash and back it up, you become a legend. And that's why so many of the guys from back in the day, have you heard anyone? The only negative thing you heard was Isaiah Thomas came out and said if Larry was a black player, he'd be just another guy.
Yeah.
And there was like outrage.
Outrage.
That
because
he said that.
It was BS.
Well, it was a
but
really.
Then, now, maybe he was more legendary because he was a white guy, but that he would just be just another guy is BS. Larry Bird was a great player.
He was a great player, great shooter. But the thing was, his trash talk, he was so flagrant and blatant and cocky that it's legendary. Like, people loved it. Michael Jordan loved it.
Yeah.
Michael did the same thing. Yeah. Magic used to hate Larry Bird, and then he got to where he liked Larry Bird. But Larry Bird, they say, the two stories you hear the most are Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. But Larry was right there with them. Mm. A lot of the players, I think, had a great respect for him because Larry is that guy who, he's from Indiana, and he's putting stuff on you that you can't believe he's saying to you.
Right.
And then he did it.
Absolutely. Let's get Pena in here before we get to Mike Florio. What do you say, Pena?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How you doing?
I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I don't think it's much of a money grab. I mean, of course they're going to get money, obviously, but I don't think that it's a money grab. And maybe for Busby, it might be, maybe. But his reputation and everything is on the line also, and I don't think he wants his reputation to be only as a money lawyer. He's a Marine. I'm a Marine. Your dad's a Marine. You know, we're down to the bone with that stuff. You know, we don't play around. And I think that perv should just get locked up. Not locked up, but he needs to serve his time a year or two out the league. Thank you. Have a great day.
I don't think – I think he is going to catch a year. I remember when you and I used to talk about 6 months, and there was a time I think that was, I mean, 6 months, six games. There was a time I think that was going to be it. Because this has gone on for so long, and there's been more discovery, and what the league has to deal with now is more people know about it. For example, the argument that was always made is that the league knew about, this argument people made, and it was, I thought, a valid argument, that the league knew about Ray Rice punching his girl, who's now his wife, and knocking her, just cold cocking her in a punch to the face. And there was a not very severe penalty, relatively speaking, until the video came out. And once the public knew about the video, because the argument was the NFL had this and they still did it. And then, you know, the NFL has denied that. But once it became a known thing, the league had to take very strict measures. Now, John, the league knows, and we'll get with Mike Florio here in a second. Now the general public knows all this stuff. I mean, it's out
that's
here.
That's a problem.
And I think the league is going to face pressure.
Absolutely. All right. Why don't you talk about patios? Mike Florio is joining us on the other side right here.
Texas Custom Patios. Hey, listen, why would you go anywhere but Texas Custom Patios for someone to build your outdoor living space? Wouldn't make any sense when you look at the work that they've done. Go to my house, just my schleppy backyard. You can take a look at what it looked like before. Broken down concrete there outside of the back door. I had no cover at all. You could see the space for it was terrible. The wife and I didn't know what we were going to do with it. And I had Steven Shell once I got the NFL job and I had more income. I said, you know what, man, I want to make this house like I want it to be. I didn't leave for San Francisco to take the radio job there. I said, I want to stay in Houston and I want to build. I want to build onto my house and have something that I really want and that I really like. And so I went searching for that. And what I found was Texas Custom Patios. And it really spoke to me looking at the before and afters. I mean, I was blown away. And I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to get this. But I was. I was able to get that. And you can too. Go to my house and see the before and afters at tcplance.com. tcplance.com. And you'll see the work that they do. It is beautiful work. They build it. The design is great. They build it onto your existing structure, or they can build it separate like a pool house. And what you are going to get is a top-notch, high-quality structure that is going to add a ton of enjoyment to your overall life. And when it comes time to sell that home, it's going to add value to your overall home. So make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com when you're ready to live your best life and add to the value of your home, TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio joining us here. He has been on top of the Deshaun situation, all the NFL situations, but this is something different. This has been now going on over a year of Deshaun Watson and this whole situation. To break it down for us, help us, he is a lawyer as well. Mike Florio joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. And let me just clarify so there's no misunderstanding. I was
a lawyer.
I am not anymore. And that is very important because it has kept me from having to answer all sorts of legal questions from people who are looking for free advice. I just say, sorry, I don't have a license anymore.
Right.
I can't help it.
All right, but just out of curiosity, do you kept your standing with the bar or did you let it expire?
No, I let it expire. I'm all in. I'm all in. Now, yeah. I could rebuild it again. But I decided, what's the point? I don't need to be carving out time for continuing legal education classes if I'm not going to use it. And I'm at the point now, frankly, I mean, I'm old enough now and I've got enough in the bank where if this thing would go away tomorrow, I would not have to go back to practicing law, and I would not. I would take any other job in the world before I would go back to the inherent stress of fighting and scratching and clawing. And it shortens your life. And it requires a personality that is just engaged to fight all the time. Not some of the time like I do now, but all the time.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk has been very, very good to you. That's for sure. I don't think there's any question about that. And you guys have done an unbelievable job. Lance and I both agree. We thought it was a little bit of clickbait with the Texans enabling. What did you think about the headline?
Just the headline versus
the story. What did you think about that? What is the Texans' culpability here?
Well, and I just posted something about it now. And look, I think it's a practical matter. I'm not making excuses for the Texans. I think that there's a difference between what you know and what you should have known. And the law calls it inquiry notice, when you know enough that maybe you should ask some questions. And based upon what was reported by Jenny Vrentis of the New York Times, and it's based upon testimony that Sean Watson has given in these civil cases, he has one of the women who was the one who sued him last week post some things on social media saying, I could expose you if I wanted to. And the next thing you know, the Texans security director, a former Secret Service agent, puts a non-disclosure agreement into Deshaun's locker that he later, you know, tells Deshaun he put it there and Deshaun should use it, and he starts using it. That to me is the moment where, in hindsight, and it's always easier in hindsight, that's where the head of security should have started asking some tough questions and offering some pointed advice on what this guy should and shouldn't be doing. The problem, and this is a practical problem, NFL franchises have a blind spot for the franchise quarterback. It's the most important employee of the organization. You aren't walking around every day fretting about something the guy could do that is going to cause some huge calamity. And I think even with whatever it was that Watson told the director of security in 2020, do you automatically take that and get to the point where there's a possibility that this guy is potentially going to be sued by 24 different people for attempting to have massages turned sexual and crossing the line in his efforts to do so? I don't know that you go there quickly. Now, I still think that the question should have been asked, that the red light was flashing, but the red light was ignored. That doesn't mean they knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if this reporting is true, there's enough there that they should have asked some questions. That's why they have directors of security. But it's not unusual. The Falcons gave Mike Vick a $100 million contract when he had a dogfighting operation on his property in Virginia. And it's not like it was hidden. It's not like it was a bat cave. And every chance he got, he was going back to Virginia. At some point, maybe somebody in the factory said, why is he going back to Virginia all the time? What's he really got there? In hindsight, they should have. Foresight, when you're talking about a guy that helps you win games, a guy you paid so much money to, a guy that you like, a guy that you don't want to upset, you're not wired. Maybe you should be, but you're not wired to assume the worst.
Mike Florio with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you make of the associate AD, the assistant DA, that had so much communication with Rusty Harden? Does Tony Busby have a legitimate gripe that he didn't get nearly as much attention?
Well, I think Tony Busby only has himself to blame for not trying harder to work the prosecutor to indict Deshaun Watson. I think what Rusty Harden decided to do, and every lawyer has a strategy for every matter that the lawyer handles. You've got a strategy, and your goal at that point is to implement the strategy and revise the strategy if the circumstances warrant. But I think what Rusty Harden wanted to do was persuade John Stallings, the assistant district attorney, to not seek aggressively an indictment of Deshaun Watson. We hear the saying all the time that a lawyer can get an indictment of a ham sandwich, and it's true. But that just means that because it is a one-sided presentation with no opportunity by the defendant to be there and put a defense on, if the prosecutor wants to push aggressively for an indictment and only focus on the evidence that tends to prove guilt and ignore the exonerating evidence, you're going to get the indictment. But the flip side is true also. If you don't want to mess with this, if you don't want to deal with the dream team, if you don't want to get your ass kicked by Rusty Harden in court, trial after trial after trial after trial, if you'd rather devote the resources of your office and your time and your effort, and prosecutors are paid on salary, you don't get extra money for taking on more cases, if you don't want to mess with that, and Rusty Harden is already working you aggressively before his guy's even been indicted, at some level you're going to say, is this really smart to push as hard as I can for an indictment, and then I'm stuck having to prove these cases beyond a reasonable doubt? Cases that arise from the interaction of two people in a room with no way to break the tie between the person who says something inappropriate happened and the person who says nothing inappropriate happened. So I think Busby should have recognized where this was going and should have sensed that maybe Rusty Harden was working the prosecutor extra diligently to avoid an indictment, and it worked. And this is where I part ways with Rusty's logic, to take the lack of an indictment and to argue, well, all it takes is probable cause to get an indictment, and you can indict a ham sandwich, so if they didn't indict this guy, that means he must have not done anything. No. All it means is the assistant district attorney decided she did not want the next year of her life to be dealing with Rusty Harden aggressively defending Deshaun Watson in 8, 9, 10 different cases.
Yeah, Mike Florio joins us right now from Pro Football Talk. Mike, it doesn't matter from a criminal standpoint, the public court of public opinion, which everyone talks about, is really, I think, irrelevant. However, when it gets to the NFL's punishment for Deshaun Watson, I do feel like the court of public opinion is going to be a potential problem for Watson because of the NFL not wanting to look bad, frankly. How do you see the court of public opinion moving the direction right now? And have you altered your sense or your idea of what the punishment could look like after this piece came out?
It's been a bad 8 days in the court of public opinion for Deshaun Watson. And you hit the nail on the head. The court of public opinion is critical when it comes to what the NFL is going to do. The entire personal conduct policy is a PR tool. It's not the NFL's effort to create an in-house justice system. And look, the vast majority of employers in this country don't care. They don't care what happens between an employee and the criminal or civil justice system because it's not their business when it happens away from work. It's not our business. I've advised clients when I was practicing law, you can't hold this against the guy. It has nothing to do with your business interests. As long as he can show up and work, it has nothing to do with you. But the NFL, thanks to the collective bargaining agreement, and the union recognizes that, you know, you've got a customer-driven operation where the general public is your customer. You want people to feel good about the sport. You want them to pay money to come to the game. You want them to buy stuff, watch games, be invested. So we have to operate at a different standard, and things that otherwise an employer wouldn't care about, the NFL cares about. And what the public thinks of the situation, you bet it's a factor here. That's why I think the Trevor Bauer two-year suspension is critical, because it sets, it reflects what the public opinion is for situations where a man exceeds, arguably, potentially, allegedly, the consent implicit in a sexual situation. Different facts, far more graphic with Trevor Bauer, but still, the question is, was the consent inherent to the situation exceeded by the person who's in the more powerful position? And when you consider 2014, Ray Rice, he wasn't punished hard enough, and the commissioner spent maybe a week and a half going to bed every night thinking, tomorrow may be the day that I lose my job. He is never going to be accused of being too lenient. Look at what he did to Ezekiel Elliott 3 years after Ray Rice. He is never going to be accused of going too easy on a player. He would rather be accused of being too aggressive. So I was thinking there's a chance after Trevor Bauer that he gets suspended for a year. I'm now thinking he should be put on paid leave. And for a variety of reasons, I think that would be good for everyone. It gives him from August 1 to March 1 to get as many of these cases processed and move forward with his life and get these cases behind him. And I also think if he was put on paid leave, we'd see a settlement. Even though it's going to get more expensive to settle, I think we'll see a settlement sooner than later, because he's definitely going to want to get it behind him if the existence of these cases is the thing that's keeping him from playing football.
Well, and how PO'd is the NFL that he circumvented the fine system by just having a $1 million contract this year?
That doesn't circumvent the fine system, though. That's standard that the contract that a player signs in the first year has a very low salary. And we have seen renegotiations in the past. Tom Brady, for example, when they were after him for Deflategate, deliberately renegotiated his salary that year to move the bulk of it, the vast majority of it, to a signing bonus to circumvent what the fine was going to be. The NFL hasn't been troubled by that in the past. I think the bigger issue is, to the extent that there are teams out there who are pissed off about the Browns giving Deshaun Watson $230 million fully guaranteed contract, and they've been voicing it, we've heard those complaints publicly, that means that the phone lines to 345 Park Avenue have been lit up with complaints about this contract. I can't believe it. Look, they're trying to get me to fully guarantee this, and they're trying to, it's going to change the way we do business. Hey, you know, the guy who's making these decisions is the same guy who's fielding those complaints. And a lot of times, when it's the moment to make a decision, all sorts of factors get tossed into the blender, whether they know it or not.
How bad do the Browns look in this deal?
Well, I think if the Browns were able to do it all over again, they probably wouldn't have traded for him at this point. Because, you know, I think back to the Ben Roethlisberger case, 2010. He had two allegations against him. One, he was sued for rape in Nevada, and then in March of 2010, he was involved in an incident in Millersville, Georgia, that initially had allegations of sexual misconduct. And he ultimately wasn't charged. And I still believe, even though we can't prove it because of NDAs, I still believe he reached a financial settlement with the alleged victim, and that all ended quickly. But even then, he was suspended 6 games, reduced to 4. That was the end of it. He served his suspension, came back, they went to the Super Bowl, and a year later it was largely forgotten. By the end of his career, it was like it never even happened. Problem with this, with the Browns, with Watson, with everything, been hanging around for 15 months, and given the mindset as reflected by the comments from Rusty Harden, the steps that have been taken, the attitude that comes through from this effort to defend aggressively. This is going to hang around for so long that it's never going to get washed off of Deshaun Watson's football resume. And I feel bad for Browns fans. I said this the moment on March 25th the trade happened. He owes it to the fans of his new team to settle the case now, settle all of them now, because Browns fans shouldn't have to process this as part of being fans, because you have some of them who are just upset about what the Browns have done and disagree with the decision to bring Deshaun Watson to town. And then you have the fans who are the knee-jerk fanatics who have to circle the wagons and defend our quarterback. And, you know, they're spouting off every talking point and pushing back against anyone who would say anything about Deshaun Watson. They'd surely rather not have to do that. So I just think it's bad overall for the Browns. And they may end up paying Deshaun Watson $46 million this year to not play, Baker Mayfield $18.8 million to not play. I mean, this thing is teetering toward the possibility of just blowing up in the Browns' face.
No chance, zero chance that Baker, if Deshaun is suspended for the year, zero chance Baker is their quarterback, right?
I don't know how they rebuild the bridge at this point. It's just not burned. It's smithereens. The way that they handled Baker Mayfield, end of the season, you're our guy next year. Then come the scouting combine, they tell his agents, he's our guy unless we can get Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Then they go to visit and try to make the pitch and lure Deshaun Watson, and that sparked the Baker Mayfield farewell letter to Cleveland. And then someone high up in the Browns organization, I assume, tells Chris Mortensen they want an adult in the room at quarterback. It's done. It's done. I think if Watson would end up not being available to them for this year, and they know it, what they would need to do is trade Baker Mayfield for Sam Darnold, straight up. I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if Brissett is the answer. But I'll tell you what, Mike, this is really, I mean, this is fascinating to me just from an outside looking in, because the league, there's so many different layers of this. The league cannot appear to be soft on this. Number two, can a player be suspended for more than a year? I don't know if there's precedence for other than with gambling stuff, and certainly we've already seen the 1 year for Calvin Ridley. I think 1 year is where it starts for Deshaun Watson. I'd say that's the favorite right now. And then number two is, I think, how does Cleveland play this? Like, you mentioned this. I don't see Cleveland getting out of this contract, and you even said they could, but they're not going to. The owner wanted this to happen. They've gone this far. But I don't think this thing is anywhere near being done, and I think when dominoes fall, additional dominoes are going to fall that we don't even know what they're going to look like.
Well, two things. The way his contract is written, his guarantees are preserved even if he has a suspension in 2022 or 2023. After 23, the exception to the standard default language goes away. And without having access to the side letter that was negotiated between the Browns and Watson's representatives, we don't know, for example, whether this new plaintiff, the one whose name they didn't know about before she filed suit, whether she falls within the confines of that exception to the standard default language or not. So there still are some moves the Browns can make if they just decide this was a mistake and we want out of this. But, I mean, the reality is it keeps lingering. It should have been settled from the get-go. The biggest mistake that was made, by far, the insistence on an NDA by Watson's camp in April of 2021, because they wanted to be able to rub Tony Busby's nose in the fact that he got peanuts in comparison to what he was crowing about the cases being worth. If they just would have done what he's done in 99.999% of these settlements of these types of claims where you have standard confidentiality language in there, if they just would have agreed to that, the cases would have been resolved for peanuts. Watson could have moved on, and he wouldn't be caught in this thing that's only going to get worse before it gets better. Because, again, if they would put him on paid leave and he would suddenly be motivated to settle the cases, it is going to be a hell of a lot more expensive than the $100,000 per plaintiff that was put on the table last year as they tried to settle the cases so he could be traded to the Dolphins.
Well, it was a mistake maybe by Rusty, but Rusty's got a lot more work since then, so he's going to be that.
Somebody asked me that earlier today. How upset is Rusty Harden by the recent developments? Like, well, as long as he's still getting paid by the hour, it's hard for him to be upset about any of that.
Man, Rusty, what that bill is going to be, is a lot of a lot of these settlements are going to be peanuts next to what Rusty's charging.
We got to keep fighting, Deshaun. We can't just let this go like this.
Hey, when I practiced law right out of law school, I worked for a major international firm that had an office in Pittsburgh, and the managing partner of the entire firm came to the office one day, and I'll never forget the phrase that was used. They aspire to represent cost-insensitive clients. Basically, people with a load of money who won't look at the bill, just pay the bill, and that's what Deshaun Watson's been for the last 15 months. Just pay the bill. Just pay the bill, and let's keep fighting. And lawyers like it when they have a client who just wants to keep fighting.
All right, quickly, before you go, Lamar Jackson to of the possibility of Lamar Jackson to Miami. You mentioned on Rich Eisen's show.
Well, look, if Lamar Jackson won't engage the Baltimore Ravens in contract talks, at some point the Ravens have to throw their hands in the air and say, we got to come up with another plan. And the time for that to happen would be after the fifth year of his contract, franchise tag gets applied for 2023. You ask yourself, if this guy's not going to turn this into a long-term deal, and we've got two more years with him, and he plays the position in a way that is conducive to more wear and tear, causing his performance to possibly at some point just begin to dip like a Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton is an old 33 because he's had the crap beat out of him for 10 years of an NFL career. So I think that the Ravens have to be considering other options if he won't do a long-term deal, and the Dolphins will make sense if Tua Tagovailoa doesn't make the most out of his opportunity this year, because there's no excuses for Tua in 2022. They've addressed all the weaknesses on the offensive side of the ball. The defense is great. And, Lamar's from Miami. I think it makes sense to keep an eye on if Lamar still refuses to do a long-term deal with the Ravens.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports. Hey, we really appreciate, Mike, your time. We know you're busy. Thanks for spending it with us and doing a lot of clarification here. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Mike Florio here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I don't know that we're going to get a News of the Weird in today because we went all the way here. I do know that we're going to get Carlos Silva in here because we're going to talk about the Morley Law Firm. My man, Carlos Silva with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Carlos, how about the Morley Law Firm? What's going on?
I'll tell you what, we're moving, we're shaking, we appreciate more than anything the response that we've gotten from your ESPN listeners. They are calling us because they have questions, and we're answering every one of those questions, John. We really appreciate it.
And it doesn't matter what your problem is. You need representation. You got the Morley Law Firm.
That's right. Anything immigration, anything criminal, anything with an accident, industrial accident, medical malpractice, give us a call. We will find the answers for any question that you have. No matter what it is, we're going to find it.
And we're hearing that immigration, you know, there's a lot of immigration problems out there. And you guys are doing so much work in it. You're getting so much experience in it that that's turning out great for your clients.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, at this point in time, with all the changes that are coming in September and October, people want answers. They don't know what to do. Call us. We'll answer every question that you have. We will do everything in our power to make sure that your rights are protected, that you have the right answers, and we move forward with your case.
Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, or morleylaw.com. That's MORLEY law.com. Carlos Silva, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, John. See you.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, we don't have much time here. News of the Weird, right? What do we have, a minute?
Somebody jumped in a puddle of urine. All right, time for me to tell you about OfferPad.
Yeah, that's... News of the Weird is brought to you by Simple Seats, okay? Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Well, they're really, really... I mean, we got one story.
Get your very best one off. Get your best gut off.
Okay. A man in India divorced his wife. Do you think this is a reason to divorce your wife? She cooked him instant noodles every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Do you think that is a reason? If Nicole made you instant noodles every day, every meal,
this isn't news.
Every day.
This is not a good news. This is absolutely that's grounds.
That's grounds for divorce.
If you had the same thing over and over and over, and don't tell me about, well, he should have made his own. Okay, well, maybe he should have made his own. But if that's, if you've got a setup where the husband does this and the wife does this and you have your different chores or tasks and he's getting instant noodles every day,
mm-hmm.
at some point you got to say, yeah, you know what? This isn't the life I signed up for.
I can't stay
yeah,
married.
Yeah, that's not news of the weird. That's news of the reasonable.
We're done. Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first,
OfferPad, listen, selling your home's never been easier. Now, you know, for some of you, you want to, well, we need to sell our home and we want to get top dollar for it. So, well, what do you have to do? Just put it on the market? Oh, no, no, no. We have to redo our landscape. Then we have to redo our flooring. We got to get new tile in our bathroom because that's all jacked up. As a matter of fact, let's just completely redo the kitchen. Now we got to get the stainless steel appliances because that's what people – I know people who spend $80,000 getting their homes ready just so they can get $80,000 back for the same thing. They go through all that, and then they go through showings and everything that involves displacing their pets and displacing their own lives. How about this? How about they OfferPad allows you to go to OfferPad.com, enter your address, answer some very basic questions. Occasionally you'll take pictures of the interior, and they make you an all-cash offer within 24 hours. You don't have to redo the interior. You don't have to redo the exterior. You don't have to set up, you know, different times where you get your house ready to go because you're going to have showings coming in that you didn't know about. None of that. And they'll close whenever you want them to close, so they work off of your schedule, and you get all that cash right up front with your closing. It's never been simpler. You don't have to do anything with your home. They'll even move you absolutely free if you are going to move within 50 miles. Make sure that before you do anything, you see my friends over at OfferPad. That's OfferPad.com, OfferPad.com.
ESPN 97.5.